Well, good morning, everyone. We're going to start today in Exodus 14, if you want to turn there. Exodus chapter 14, let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for this day and the sunshine, just reminding us, Lord, of your love and your goodness, and that your mercies are new every morning. And Lord, we truly do have so much to be thankful for. We thank you for forgiving us our sins, Father. We thank you for our salvation. Lord, we just thank you for the freedom and opportunity we have to meet here this morning. I just pray that you'd help us as we look into your word. Lord, give me the words to say. Just help us to be encouraged by it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So today, I'd like to look a little bit at going forward when you feel trapped. So we're going to start in Exodus 14 and verse 1. We're going to go through verse 15. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Hiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him, and he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. So as I was reading this passage recently, that phrase there just really stood out to me. We see, of course, the background behind the story is Israel had been in Egypt for around 400 years, and God visited his people. He sent Moses to lead his people up out of Egypt. God did many incredible plagues and signs in Egypt and allowed Israel to be let go free from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. But we see here that Pharaoh and the Egyptians, they let Israel go. And they're like, why did we do that? We need to go get these people and bring them back so they can build all our buildings and wash all our dishes. They liked having people to serve them. And they're like, why did we let these people go? So they decided to go and chase them down. And apparently they brought a pretty big army, And we read here, like in verse 9, and the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army. They took everything they had, all their military power, and they were going to go capture Israel. They were going to go bring Israel back. And we see the position Israel's in. They go to by the sea here, and I'm sure some of you have seen the maps of where Israel ended up as the Egyptians pursued them. They ended up by the Red Sea. There was basically mountains on both sides, and there was a Red Sea there, and the Egyptians were right behind them. So there was literally nowhere to go. They were trapped. Pharaoh said in verse 3, they'll be entangled in the land, and the wilderness has shut them in. They didn't have anywhere to go. But yet, God said, verse 15, they need to go forward. Where do you go? The sea's right here. The Egyptians are behind you. You can't go right or left. They were trapped. And that just really stood out to me as I was reading that. They were trapped. Where did they go? And maybe sometimes in our lives, we feel trapped as well. We get into a position, where's the way out? What do we do? Seems like there's nowhere to go. So I just kind of like to focus on that a little bit this morning. Number one, God told Israel to go forward when they seemed trapped. And number two, God often purposely uses difficult circumstances to show his power. And if we read verse 10 again, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. So God used this circumstance to cause Israel to cry out to them, cry out to him. Did they believe in God at this point? Well, we'll see. Maybe they didn't really trust in him. They were murmuring to Moses after this point, you know, why have you brought us out here to die? But it did cause them to cry out to God. And God used that to put Israel in a position where the only way out was God. They knew they couldn't fight the Egyptians. They had a huge army. They knew they couldn't escape any other way. God put them in that position where they had to rely on him only. I'm going to read and kind of just continue on in this story. I'm going to read verses 15 through 31. Read verse 15 again. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. So, and then just to give you perspective of that sea, I don't know exactly how big it was, but it was too deep for them to just cross. They didn't have any boats. It was a miracle that God did this to make a way through the sea. Verse 17, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to pass, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. So we see here that God did work a miracle for Israel. Before they cried unto the Lord, that they didn't really believe that God would help them. And they murmured against Moses and like, "Why did you bring us out here to die? We're trapped. We're going to die." But Moses tried to encourage them in the Lord. The Lord has the power to help us. And God did show that. And the people did see that great work. And they believed the Lord. So God used that situation to cause them to believe. And it didn't just cause Israel to believe, but also caused the enemies of Israel to greatly fear Israel and the one true God. I'm going to turn to Joshua 2 and verse 9. So just to give you some context here, this is over 40 years later. Israel has wandered through the wilderness, and they are trying to go into the promised land and conquer it, and spies were sent into the promised land, and there was Jericho. And we see here that these couple of spies went into Jericho, and there was one in Jericho that hid them, Rahab the harlot. And this is what she said over 40 years after Israel crossed the Red Sea. This is what she said. And she said unto the men, "I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when we came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." So over 40 years after the crossing of the Red Sea, we see here that the people of the Promised Land, the land that Israel was supposed to go and inhabit, these people were shaken in their boots because of God and because of Israel. And, you know, I don't know what each of you might be facing, but, you know, sometimes we do go through some things, and they seem hard at the time, but God can show his power through those things. And just think of what the testimony of that Red Sea crossing was to the whole world. Rahab the harlot understood that Israel's God is the God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So number three, by faith, we can see beyond our current circumstances. We're commanded in the Bible to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to turn to 2 Corinthians 5. Verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, 12. "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." Right now, we can't see the future. We don't know what's going to happen. But the only way we can look beyond those hard circumstances, the only way we can look beyond the Red Sea, for example, is for us to walk by faith. Israel, they doubted God, and they got consumed by the physical position that they were in. They were trapped. They couldn't go anywhere. But they could have walked by faith and believe God from the get-go. So how do we walk by faith? When we're in those hard circumstances, how do we see beyond the Red Sea? I think a big part of that in walking by faith is just claiming God's promises. I'm going to turn to Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." That's a promise from God, and God always keeps his promises. When we love God and we're called according to his purpose, all things will work together for good. And I know, you know, as pastors mentioned so many times, you know, when we read these Old Testament stories, we read about Israel crossing the Red Sea. We read about Daniel being cast into the lion's den. We read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego about to be cast into a burning fiery furnace. You know, it is hard sometimes to put yourself in their position, to actually see it in the true context, because we know the end of the story. But through God's promises, we know that the end of the story is going to be good. We can go forward even when we feel trapped. I'm going to turn to Romans 10, verse 17. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." And then Matthew 4 and verse 4. Matthew 4, 4. "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And it's such an incredible thing to be able to claim God's promises in prayer. I believe that's how we pray in faith, is just claiming his promises and meditating on God's word. And that's how we can walk by faith when we're in his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to walk by faith and pray in faith, we need to commit that those promises that God gave us to him. And that's how we can walk by faith. If Israel would have remembered God's promises, they would have had the faith to see beyond their trapped position. I'm going to turn to Exodus 3. They had a promise to God, or from God. Exodus 3:15. "And God, moreover," or God said, "moreover unto Moses, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, appeared unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. And I have said, I will bring you out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. So we see here that God did give Israel promise. While Israel was in Egypt, while they were in captivity in Egypt and serving the Egyptians, God appeared to Moses and said, I've chosen you to take Israel up out of Egypt. And they were to go and possess the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. That's the land that God promised Abraham and to his seed. So God promised Israel that he was going to take them there. And maybe if Israel just would have remembered that while they were sitting there trapped by the Red Sea. You know what? God gave us a promise. We might seem trapped, but God didn't just lead us out here to destroy us and let us die by the hand of the Egyptians or drowned in the Red Sea. God gave us a promise that we're going to go inhabit that land. And then number four, when we are in God's will, there is no need to fear. As I already stated, God didn't lead Israel out of Egypt to be destroyed. And even in this circumstance, if you know, as you read through Exodus, God didn't lead Israel right to the promised land. He didn't lead them right to go face the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites in battle. He led them kind of a roundabout way. And we'll see why in Exodus 13. Exodus 13 and verse 17. Exodus 13, 17, and it came to pass when Pharaoh let the people go that God led them not through the way of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up, harnessed out of the land of Egypt. So even in, you know, of course it was God's will. God had promised Israel that they were going to go inhabit the promised land and they were going to take that land over. But they didn't take a direct route to that land after Egypt. God was the one that led them down to the Red Sea. God led them exactly where they were when they were sitting there trapped with the Egyptians behind them and the Red Sea in front of them. God had led them there. And God knew exactly what he was doing when he led them into that trap. And we already looked at some of this, but I believe the purpose was twofold in God leading them right there. Number one, as we saw here in this passage in Exodus 13, it was to keep Israel from seeing war right away so that they wouldn't have a desire to go back to Egypt. And then number two, God used it as an opportunity to show his power and to destroy the Egyptians so the Egyptians would never be able to come and chase him down and try to bring him back. So God's plan for Israel as a whole was to inhabit that promised land. But as we think about us today, you know, what is, you know, that was God's will for them to leave Egypt and go claim that promised land. But what is God's overall plan for us today, you know, as Christians, as the church? And I believe that is in Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. God may have called each of us to different occupations. We may change our occupations and may call us something else. But at the end of the day, this is still every one of our purpose. It's the purpose of the church. He's given us the mission as a church, as individuals, as Christians, to accomplish the Great Commission. I'm going to turn to Matthew 16. Matthew 16 and verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So not only did God give us a mission, but he promised to be with us unto the end of the world in that mission, and he promised that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. So that's as a church, that's our mission, and God will help us along that way, just like he helped Israel in their mission. As we already saw in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them for them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And when we are following God's purpose for our lives, when we're following, you know, his mission for us, you know, even if we do feel trapped like Israel did, he can deliver us. He promised to be with us to the end of the world. And then number five, we shouldn't fear the enemy because they might be shaking in their boots and we don't even know it. We already looked at that passage where the people of Jericho were very afraid of Israel because they had seen what happened. I'm going to turn to Numbers 13. Numbers 13 and verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." So, not too long after Israel crossed the Red Sea, Israel sent spies to search out the promised land, and some of them came back and said, "We are well able to possess this land." That's what Caleb said, and he was encouraging Israel, "Let's go up and possess it. God said we're going to do it. He'll give us the protection. He'll give us the strength we need to do it. We're well able to do this." But others said, "No, we can't do that. We can't go up to possess the land." And while they're saying that, we already looked at Jericho. Jericho is around 40 years after what we're reading right now, and those people were still afraid of Israel. They were still very fearful. If Israel could have gone up right here, right then, this was very soon after they crossed the Red Sea. It wasn't that long. Maybe those people would have been really scared and just fled. But either way, if Israel only would have realized here the fear that the people of the land they were supposed to go and possess had of them. And number six, it's better to serve the Lord in freedom and take risk and depend upon God for safety than to be a slave in Egypt for the sake of security and peace. I'm going to turn to Numbers 11. Numbers 11 and verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, for there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. So we see here that Israel, rather than trusting in God for provision and protection, they would rather just go and be a slave in Egypt where they can eat gross things like cucumbers and or leeks and onions and garlic. What was wrong with these people? They were messed up. But they would rather live in that false sense of security and safety rather than depend upon God and go forward into the unknown. Well, it really wasn't that unknown because God had given promises. But I feel like we've seen so many in our country in the last year that they've given up some freedom and just to give them a little bit of security and false sense of security. They would rather be a slave, and you know, Israel would rather be a slave and know where their meal was coming from than to just rely on God. You know, and I'm sure many of you have heard the quote, at least one version of Ben Franklin's famous quote, anyone that would give up a little liberty to gain a little security deserves neither and loses both. You know, I feel that's definitely been something our nation's been giving up. We're just so comfortable, and it's so easy to rely on the government to give us all our needs, so we think. But it was God that provided for Israel and their needs. I'm going to turn to Exodus 15. Exodus 15 and verse 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses and said, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So we see that, you know, Israel would rather have gone back to that false sense of security in Egypt. But God provided them water. He provided their needs. And then next chapter, see, the first thing they ran out of was water. The next chapter, they run out of food. And Exodus 16, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them, whether they walk in my law or no. So we see here that Israel did run out of food, but God provided that need. He rained bread from heaven. And it can, you know, in our society today, it can be a temptation to just try to go with the flow, try to play by the rules, even though they're ever-changing, so we don't get canceled by our culture. We see people, you know, they as Corey was telling some of us last night, they asked forgiveness for, acting as a cowboy because the cowboys probably treated the Indians bad. There's just so many things that it's easy to try to, you know, just go with the flow and try not to stick our heads above, heads up so our heads don't get chopped off in our cancel culture that we live in. You know, so many people have had their, you know, their social media platforms taken away. Some people have lost their jobs just because they've spoken the truth. And we really need to pray for our nation in that. You know, our nation seems to be calling good evil and evil good. I was reading a thing from David Cloud the other day where a Canadian pastor had been jailed, and he was told he wouldn't be released until he promised to stop preaching and having church services. Of course, their COVID rules are very strict up there, and he apparently was still preaching, and they said, well, we're locking you up, but we'll let you go right now if you promise to stop preaching and having services. They're trying to tempt him and say, here, take the easy route, go back to Egypt, just follow our rules, you know, obey us rather than God is really what they're saying. This man's refusing to go back to Egypt, in a sense, to live in that false sense of security, to play by the man's rules. And, you know, that's more of a real-life example in our day of a man. You know, he seems trapped when you're in prison. You know, when you're by the Red Sea, you can try to swim across. You can try to fight the Egyptians behind you. You can try to climb the cliffs right and left. But when you're in prison, you kind of have bars on all four sides. So it's kind of hard to get out. So that's an area where you would definitely feel trapped. But that's a real modern-day example, a present-day example. We don't know the end of the story. But maybe God will use it in a mighty way. Maybe God will show his power through that. Because the same God that led Israel across the Red Sea is the same God that's on the throne today. God's still in control. And I don't know what situations we may face in the future where we feel trapped. But it just so struck me as I was reading through Exodus. Israel's trapped. And God said, go forward. And God just might use those situations to show his power. And when we, as we saw, when we are in God's will, we really have no need to fear. And the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. Thankfully, Jesus is coming back, and that's something we can look forward to. But all things work together for good to them that love God, and for those that are called according to his purpose. And that's what we need to stay focused on. And in staying focused on his purpose for us to reach the world with the gospel. And I hope that's just been a blessing to you. It's just such a blessing to me to come across that. Go forward. You feel trapped? Just go forward. And God's still on the throne, and we can still claim his promises. And we might not be able to see far ahead, but through faith we can see across the Red Sea because of our great God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you so much for your word and the promises that you've given us and the testimony of your power in the past, Father, and you showing yourself strong on the behalf of your people. And we do pray for our nation, Lord. Our hearts are grieved to see the direction it's going, but we pray that hearts would be turned back to you, that people would see that it's God, not the government, that we need to depend on for our needs. And Lord, I just pray that you'd wake our country up. And Lord, help us. Lord, there's so many different areas in our lives where we could feel trapped. Could be little things, it could be we just feel like there's no way out, like there's no hope, there's no help. And Lord, but help us to just keep claiming your promises in these areas, Lord, and keep walking by faith. We can't see the end of the story. We look through glass darkly right now, but we with your promises and your word, and meditating on your word, we can walk by faith and see your power. Father, just thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you for each one that came out this morning. I just pray you'd bless each one and just bless and guide and direct them the rest of this day now. In Jesus' name I pray.